Hello everyone, today's devotion comes from Matthew chapter 22. Again, that's Matthew chapter 22, and I'll read that for us. And again, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son, and sent his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding feast, but they would not come. Again, he sent other servants, saying, 'Tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his servants, treated them shamefully, and killed them. The king was angry, and he sent his troops and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding feast is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go, therefore, to the main roads and invite to the wedding feast as many as you find.' And those servants went out into the roads and gathered all whom they found, both bad and good. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to look at the guests, he saw there a man who had no wedding garment. And he said to him, 'Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, Bind him hand and foot, and cast him into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.'" Then the Pharisees went and plotted how to entangle him in his words. And they sent their disciples to him, along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God truthfully, and you do not care about anyone's opinion, for you are not swayed by appearances. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why put me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. And Jesus said to them, "Whose likeness and inscription is this?" They said, "Caesar's." Then he said to them, "Therefore, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard it, they marveled, and they left him and went away. The same day, Sadducees came to him, who say that there is no resurrection, and they asked him a question, saying, "Teacher, Moses said, 'If a man dies having no children, his brother must marry the widow and raise up offspring for his brother.' Now there were seven brothers among us. The first married and died, and having no offspring, left his wife to his brother. So too the second and third, down to the seventh. After them all, the woman died. In the resurrection, therefore, of the seven, whose wife will she be? For they all had her." But Jesus answered them, "You are wrong, because you know neither the scriptures nor the power of God. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. And as for the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what was said to you by God? 'I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob.' He is not God of the dead, but of the living." And when the crowd heard it, they were astonished at his teaching. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." Now while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them a question, saying, "What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he?" They said to him, "The son of David." He said to them, "How is it then that David, in the Spirit, calls him Lord, saying, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet.' If then David calls him Lord, how is he his son?" And no one was able to answer him a word, nor from that day did anyone dare to ask him any more questions. Amen. In today's passage, and also the previous chapter from yesterday's devotion, we see the religious leaders questioning Jesus and his teachings in an attempt to stumble and accuse him. And in many of his responses, Jesus uses the scriptures. For example, the Sadducees ask Jesus a purposefully complicated question about whether a wife who had multiple husbands would remain married, like who she would be married to after the resurrection. And in response, Jesus refutes them with scripture and asks whether they've really read the scriptures because the answer to their question is there. Jesus says in verse 29, "You are wrong because you know neither the scriptures nor the power of God." Then he says in verse 31, "Have you not read what was said to you by God? I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob." Jesus responds to them with this, with the truth of scripture. If you remember from earlier in the Gospel of Matthew, in way back in chapter 4, when Jesus is tempted in the wilderness by the devil, he responds to the devil's temptations in a similar way, by using the truth of scripture to refute the devil's lies. And this is what I want to encourage us with today. Just like Jesus did, let's remain in the truth of scripture. Charles Spurgeon once said this about John Bunyan, who was a 17th century Puritan writer. Spurgeon praises Bunyan by saying, "Why, this man is a living Bible. Prick him anywhere, his blood is bibline. The very essence of the Bible flows from him. He cannot speak without quoting a text, for his very soul is full of the Word of God." When we're saturated in God's Word, like Bunyan and like Jesus were, we can't help but exude the truth of Scripture. Even when we're bombarded with hostile questions like Jesus was in this passage, those who fill themselves with Scripture eventually bleed Scripture. Our blood becomes bibline, as Spurgeon puts it. When Jesus was responding to the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes, he primarily quoted Scripture. Perhaps some of us have experienced times where people in our lives question our faith. Maybe even that questioner was your own mind. In times like this, let's let the scriptures do the responding. Instead of trying to muster up our own answers in an attempt to appease the questions on our own terms, let's let the scriptures speak for themselves. And for that to happen, we must fill our hearts and minds with God's word. Saturate ourselves with it. Let's bleed the Bible. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Your word, the holy scriptures, is it's not just any text. It's not just a book of good morals, though it is. It's not just a book of amazing stories, though it is. But more than that, it is your living, breathing word. Your word is so closely tied to your very self that you say in John chapter 1 that you are the word. So God, we ask that you help us to know it, to breathe it, to live it, saturate ourselves with it, to bleed the Bible. In times where life or the enemy try to shake the foundations of our faith, Lord, I pray that we would exude the truth of Scripture on which our faith is built on. Who can be against us, Lord, if we know and breathe the Scriptures like this? So, Lord, we ask for more and more and more of a revelation of who you are through our reading of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.